Wow, wow, wow. Well, kia ora fam. Usually I say g'day everywhere I go. Ah, good morning, good morning. Wow, wow, wow. That was so awesome. We're not done by a long shot, hey? Ah, come on, let's just stretch out our hands to the Lord. Come on. Wow, Jesus. Wow, we love you, God. We love you so much. We thank you that you're here this morning, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your glory. God, we came for you. Just come have your way. We just ask for more right now, God. We ask for more. I know there's more. John 7:37, Jesus stands up in a loud voice at the festival and to his own people. He says, come, you who are thirsty, come and drink. So we come, Lord. We come right now. We come and we drink. We receive and we pull on your presence right now, God. You know, I know that you can resist the presence of God, right? Sometimes you have to do that when you're driving home after a good meeting, right? So I figure if you can resist the presence, you can also do the opposite. And you can lean in and begin to receive. You can posture your heart to actually begin to receive. And there's an active receiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Not in a hurry. Are you hungry for him? I want to tell you, whether you know it or not, you are. You are hungry for him. Every single one of us, we're hungry for him. And like I'm preaching in America all the time, if you're hungry for tacos, it means tacos must exist. Right? Tacos exist, let me tell you. And there's really good ones. Therefore, if we are hungry for God, if we're hungry for the presence of God, and every single one of us is hungry for the presence of God, therefore, the presence must be available. The presence of God exists, and he must be available to us. And so that's why right now this morning, you know, even in just preparing for today, I was like, okay, you know, what's the absolute best meeting I could imagine? What do we really want? We just want the glory to come. Like a nuclear bomb goes off in this place and we all wake up on Wednesday. Right? I don't know about you, but that's always what I'm going for. I want to tell you what's going to shift the nation is the presence of God. And this is why we go after revival. This is why we contend for revival. And there's controversy and people say a whole bunch of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's not laws that are going to change the nation. It's hearts. And it's only the presence of God that can change hearts, right? And so even when we're talking about abortion, we're talking about all these laws, what's going to shift that? It's going to be revival. It's going to be a nation-shaking move of God that sweeps right across the nation. And whether it starts here right now this morning, or whether it starts right up in the far north, or right up in the Bay of Islands, and come, whatever, right? There's going to be a move of God sweep this nation, and I just want to decree that this morning. When we talk about revival, we're talking about souls. We're talking about people being swept into the kingdom. You know, sometimes I feel like I have to explain myself and try and, you know, talk to the people who are offended, but I'm not even going to worry about doing that this morning. We need revival. We need the glory. We need the presence of God. We need to have such an encounter with him that we walk out of this place on fire. Flame on. Revival is about the church operating at full function, full heat, full flame. So that, because one, we need it. We need the presence. Our souls need the presence like our lungs need oxygen. We were created for the presence. The atmosphere of heaven is the presence of God. There's no oxygen up there. It's all the presence. This is our natural state. What was lost in the garden was the glory, right? And so we need revival because we need the glory. We need encounters. We need the presence of God because we, believe it or not, we're trying to fill it with so much other stuff, right? It's no good us standing up in church and saying, hey, you shouldn't be addicted to porn. But then there's nothing in church to replace it. Whoa. We can't say Jesus is what we're supposed to be enjoying if Jesus isn't in the house. Did I say that? This is the thing, right? We can't be telling the world, hey, you're not supposed to be oriented this way, but we don't have any power present to deliver them. We can't say stop doing that, but then not have the power, not have the presence, not be carrying the glory enough to be able to set them free from the things that they're struggling with. And it's partly, I mean, we just went straight off. I didn't even say my name. Hi, I'm Ben. Come on. So yeah, I'm a Kiwi. I'm also an Aussie and I'm becoming an American. I was actually born in Australia to Kiwi parents, grew up in New Zealand. And then when I was 22, I got married to an Australian, Jody. Hi, honey. Hi, girls. They're watching in Texas right now. Oh, look, there they are. I'm glad I'm wearing different shoes, so I'm not wearing the total same clothes. That's how I change. Just change shoes. In fact, we were just filming a 16 episode TV series about 3 weeks ago, and Jody changed jackets every episode, and I changed shoes. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Don't stop just drinking this morning. I want to tell you, God is getting ready to move and He is moving in such a way. And I know that sometimes it can sound like a broken record. But I want to tell you, it sounds like a broken record because every prophetic voice on the planet is saying the same thing. Every single person. And I want to tell you, and we're beginning to see it as it is. We're seeing more miracles on planet Earth today than ever in history. More people being raised from the dead. More people being delivered spontaneously. The Middle East is having a massive revival. China is having a massive revival. Iran is having a massive revival. Thank you, Lord. I know we're about to have a meeting. I keep seeing it so strongly in my spirit. A meeting is coming very, very shortly. Meetings. But I know for me, I'm going to be in a meeting. And the glory of God is going to come with such intensity that everyone in the room is going to be on their faces screaming. I've heard it. I've seen it. I've felt it. Having an encounter with the fear of God. Having an encounter with the spirit of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is returning to the church right now. And we have this very small window. Let me tell you this morning. We're not mucking around. We're not playing games. We don't have time. We have a very small window right now where God is saying, consecrate yourself because tomorrow I'm going to show up. I'm getting ready to show up and show off. And for us to be able to carry the level of glory that God is about to release through us, we need to be squeaky clean. So we need to stop mucking around with kind of semantics and all this kind of stuff. Yes, we have been made positionally holy by the blood of Jesus, but we also are called to live holy. Holiness is as holiness does, right? You can't say, well, I'm positionally holy, but I'm doing all this junk. It's not how it works. Ananias and Sapphira were positionally holy. Right. But God showed up. The glory was in such power right there in Acts chapter 4. Right before Acts chapter 5 where Ananias and Sapphira, the glory came, right? Do you remember Peter and John? They were in the prayer meeting and they'd been threatened with being imprisoned for preaching the gospel. And they're like, God, stretch out your hand, perform mighty signs and wonders that your servants would be filled with all boldness. Sometimes people say, well, we shouldn't chase after signs and wonders. The devil would love for you to think that. But right there, Peter asks for signs and wonders. He basically says, God, show up and do something. Because we need to be filled with boldness. We need to see you show off. We need to see your power on display so that we can be filled with this boldness to preach your word, even at the threat of death. Amen? And so it's no problem for us to pray, no problem for us to press in and say, God, we need you to show up. Do something. And as they prayed right then, it says that the whole place began to shake. Come on, can you imagine that? I mean, I know, you know, I kind of know what that's like. I'm in Christchurch, you know. But there's a God quake coming, right? The place was shaking under the power of God. And it says, and again, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The same people who were in the upper room in Acts chapter 2 were there in Acts chapter 4, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no point just saying, well, it happened once back there. That's a one-time thing, and I've got to live off that for the rest of my life. No, there's this continual infilling. This pouring out and this pouring in, this pouring out and this pouring in. Even as ministers, you know, when we're praying for people on an altar, it's always a one hand up and a one hand out. You know, God, I'm pulling on your presence. I've prayed for 200 people and I'm running out of oil. I don't care what your theology is about that. I'm just saying, God, I need you. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by your spirit, God. And you know the beauty of it, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit? You know when it really counts? Is when you've got no might and you've got no power. Who's ever been there? I've been there, I'm like, well, God, I've got no might. I've got no money, I've got no friends, I've got no people, I've got no contacts, I've got no power, God, I've got nothing. But thank you, Jesus, that it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And you know what I love about by my spirit is that it doesn't matter where you're from, it doesn't matter how much money you have, it doesn't matter how educated you are, it doesn't matter how many people you know, what connections you have. Doesn't matter where you went to school, where you grew up, everybody has the same access by the blood of Jesus for the by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen? Come on. I'm going to be a little American. I live there, you know. I'm preaching better than you're responding. Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. Come on, don't hold back. Whew. The Lord was showing me from the story of David, one of our favorite stories from the David and Goliath, right? One of the most famous stories of the Bible, in fact. Even in sporting contests today, you know, when the All Blacks are playing anyone, it's a David and Goliath situation, right? You know, I played for the All Blacks when I was a kid. I didn't play with them, but when I played, I was playing for them, you know? That's a fresh joke right there. I've never told that before. It just came out right then. But you know, in this story, David has just been anointed as king. Samuel's just done the thing and he's pulled him in from out on the back of the field, out the back of the farm. Hey, come on. Yeah, this is the guy. And he's been anointed as king, but he hasn't become king, right? And then what happens is the entire army of the Philistines, they come and they're coming in to come and attack Israel. And it says that all the Philistines were on one side and all of Israel and Judah were on the other side, right? And Goliath comes out and he says to the army, he says, look, he says, you send out your best man. You send out a champion and he can fight me. And basically whoever wins, the other will serve the other. And so what happens is that the entire army of Israel begins to tremble in their boots, basically. And you know the first thing God showed me there? Who says the enemy gets to set the terms of the war? The entire army of Israel let Goliath set the term of the battle. And they all sat back and they trembled. This entire army, the spirit of intimidation, came on the entire army of Israel. And for 40 days and for 40 nights, they trembled at the sight of Goliath. This mighty army of God trembled for 40 days. The intimidation. And then we have this young boy, David, probably a teenager. He comes out and all he's doing is he's delivering lunch, right? He's coming out to deliver his lunch and he looks up and what the heck is going on here? The entire army of Israel are cowering and there's this one giant, Goliath, and he's yelling out, he's defying, he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that stands and defies the armies of the living God? David was of a different spirit, right? He wasn't under that same intimidation that the entire army was under. And so he goes back to Saul and he's like, Saul, let me take him. I can take him. And Saul's like, who do you think you are? You're just a kid. He says, Saul, God was with me when I killed the bear. He was with me when I killed the lion. And this giant is going down today. And Saul, the mighty king that he was, he says, okay, David, take my armor. He doesn't say, you know, I'll ride out with you. You know, this wasn't Aragorn theater, you know, like, ride out with me. Yes, for Rohan. No, that's not what happened. He's like, take my armor. And then we know what happens. He tries it on. It doesn't fit. David throws it all off. He says, you know what? He didn't say this, but this is what I'm saying. He said, David wasn't called to be Saul. David wasn't anointed to be Saul. David was anointed to be David. Amen? You're anointed to be you. You're anointed to wield the gifts and the weapons that God has given you, not someone else's. And so David had built up this relationship with God. He built up this history with God. And so he comes out and he just begins to run to the battle. I love it so much. Don't you love it? And Goliath is there, this 9-foot-tall giant, you know. And he turns and he says, you come at me with spear and javelin, but I come at you in the mighty name of the Lord our God. And today, the birds of the air and the beasts of the field are going to feast on the carcasses of your entire army. This is in the Bible. And we know what happens. He actually starts running towards him and he pulls this stone out and he's got the slingshot, one shot, poof, like this. And this 9-foot giant, boom, hits the ground. Wow. I want to see that on the replay in heaven, right? In the God Flicks room, you know, show me that one. I love what happens next. David goes over and he pulls Goliath's own sword out of the sheath. It was probably as tall as he was, right? And he picks up this sword and he chucks it and boom, and he cuts off Goliath's head. Wow. And that one act of bold, courageous fearlessness, right, empowered and encouraged the entire army. And the army, and they chased down those Philistines and they killed every last one of them. That's a good time to cheer. Come on. Woo! And he picks up Goliath's head. you wouldn't let your kids watch this on TV, right? He's got Goliath, it was probably ginormous, like the size of my head. It was probably like, you know, this ginormous head, and he's got it by the hair, you know, all evil things have hair like this. And he carries this big head back to Saul, you know? Poof. I love that so much. And I want to tell you, God is calling you, New Zealand, Living Waters Christian Center, to have that same spirit, to save that. You have the same spirit that David had on him, that is not intimidated by the enemy. I want to tell you this. One thing God is doing right now is he's saying, New Zealand, be New Zealand. Be who I created you to be. And we, Kiwis, are a nation of warriors. We are a nation of warriors. And we're called to be warriors in the spirit. not intimidated by anything. And I want to tell you this. This warrior spirit is a... It's not a warfare of hate and anger. It's a warfare of love. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against people. We wrestle against the spirit. And unless we have a love for all these people we saw on the video up here, unless we go to there with love, because not because we're angry and we want to take down and we want heads to roll. No, we want devil heads to roll. Absolutely. We want to cut the head off the enemy. No two ways about it. And we need to be violent in the spirit. We need to be forceful in the spirit. God has given us weapons to fight and they are mighty. The New Testament is full of warfare language, but the warfare and the love go hand in hand. The love for people, the hatred for the enemy, and the desire to see the people set free. We're never going to win a nation to Jesus if we hate them. We're not fighting against liberal whatever. We're not fighting against left wing. It's not hetero versus homo. It's none of these things. That's the wrong fight. If that's the fight we're fighting, it's the wrong fight. It's those who are saved and those who are yet to be saved and getting saved. Amen? Wow, wow, wow. Thank you, Jesus. So God is breaking intimidation off the body of Christ. He's breaking intimidation off here right now this morning. In fact, one way I know that is because the devil tried to intimidate me last night. Had a demon come into my room in the middle of the night, and that never happens to me. Happens to my wife. My wife's an amazing seer, prophet. But this hasn't happened for a long time to me personally. But the spirit of intimidation came into my hotel room last night. And I was asleep, and in my it was a dream, and I was frozen. And as soon as I woke up, I was like, yes, the enemy came last night to try and intimidate me, because he knows what God is wanting to do this morning, what God is wanting to do tonight, and what he's going to do this week. I want to tell you, what God will do this week will shift the nation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We just love you, God. We love you, we love you, we love you. Come on. Come on, let it come. More. Shakarabarosi kitira mama mama mashi. Bresi karabarababaka haramasia. Jesus. Yep, this is what you signed up for. You might have come to the wrong church this morning. I don't think I've ever had a word like this before, but God spoke to me when on the first night I was here, and then again, just even this morning, and, honestly, don't hold back. If you're out of line, I'll tell you. Don't worry, because there is authority, right? Sometimes people freak out and go, oh, that person's in the flesh. Like, well, what are you in? I'll pour out my spirit on all what? Flesh, come on. Our bodies, we react. God shows up. People say, oh, joy is just an emotionalism. Well, so is grumpy. More Lord, more Lord, more Jesus. Come on. People are getting free. People are getting free. And this is intercession. I'm not saying these people are getting free, but this intercession that comes. You know, in 1 Corinthians 14, when Paul's talking about praying in the Spirit, he actually says, speak in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit, three different things. And sometimes people get confused. Well, what's the gift of, you know, just giving a message in tongues? Well, that's like the speaking in tongues, but then there's praying in tongues publicly, and there's even singing in tongues, right? Different things. But it's all intercessory, right? You're praying in the Holy Ghost. And sometimes it's just groans. Sometimes it's shouts. Sometimes it's laughing. Sometimes it's just joy, 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 joy. During the revival, we hosted a revival called the Pineapple Revival. We went for many, many, many months. And night after night, often we'd have just joy just sweeping through the place and people rolling around. And I remember I posted a video once, you know. And people said, well, this is totally unbiblical. Where is this in the Bible? I said, well, in his presence is fullness of joy. Pleasures at his right hand. The word pleasure is in the Bible? Yeah, pleasure. At his right hand, pleasures forevermore. In his presence is fullness of joy. And I want to tell you, this joy looks like something. It sounds like something. It feels like something. And sometimes people say, well, no, it's a deep joy. You know, it's like so deep your face doesn't know about it. You know, it's like so deep James Cameron couldn't find it in a submarine. You know, it's Mariana or Marinara Trench deep. You know what I mean? It's I tell you, when you get to heaven, you're not going to be grumpy. That's not going to be the response. Oh, I hate this. You'll be in the other place. Oops. The Lord said this to me, and this is a little serious, but we're going to do business because God has said this because he wants to deal with it. In the story of Elisha, do you remember the story with the strike the ground? The arrows, I'm sure you're all familiar with that if you've been around church. Well, the Lord spoke to me and he said, strike. Just as I was going to sleep on Friday night, he said, strike, strike the ground. And he showed me New Zealand. And he said, and he showed me it was like this massive cancer that was down the east coast of New Zealand. And just like Kaikoura, just like how that broke off in the natural, the Lord wants to break off this cancer in the same way that's going to come off the nation. And he's calling the church to strike the ground, to be the warrior that he's called us to do. And this cancer is going to break off. And of course, the story of, for those of you who don't know it, Elisha tells the king, he says, strike the ground. When they're coming up in this battle, right, the war, and the king strikes the ground with the arrows three times. And Elisha's like, why did you only do it three times? It means you'll only beat the Syrians three times. You should have struck more. You should have kept striking, right? And so God is calling us even right now, this morning, to strike the ground, and this cancer is going to break off the nation, and it's going to bring a shift right across the nation. So this intimidation is coming off this morning. Before we do this, because I've got a 10-minute track of my wife and I praying in tongues. We're in Moravian Falls in North Carolina, up Prayer Mountain. We just went for it in the spirit for 10 minutes, and we recorded it. And I put it to a bit of a beat, And it's called Breakthrough, the track, right? And so I'm going to play it, and we're all going to stand up, and for 10 minutes, we're going to strike the ground in the spirit in this place this morning. But before we do that, it's good. That's boldness, and people are popping up. If you know that you need to have that spirit of intimidation broken off you this morning, would you just quickly stand to your feet? Let's just all laugh at that. Let's laugh at that spirit of intimidation. The Bible says he who sits in the heavenlies laughs at his enemies. He laughs at his enemies. Intimidation, really? David knew who he was, and he knew who his God was. And just in standing up this morning, those chains of intimidation began to break off. Everybody who's still sitting down, and you're okay, stretch out your hands right now. Stretch out your hands to the people even around you. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, your word says when the thief has been found out, he must repay sevenfold. So we say fear and intimidation, you've been found out this morning. And so God, I pray for a sevenfold boldness to come upon your people this morning. Every chain of intimidation is broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Spirit of fear, we see you, we bind you right now. You might just even want to say, Father, forgive me for partnering with intimidation. I renounce all partnership with fear and intimidation. And I command you to loose me in Jesus' name. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a spirit of a sound mind. So right now, I just command every spirit of fear and intimidation to leave in the mighty name of Jesus right now. Okay, so now we're going to put that track on. All the rest of us just stand up. And we are just going to go for it. Don't make me do the work. You're going to do the work. I'm going to war with you. But as we do this, let's do it. Let's point it this morning at breakthrough over this nation, seeing this thing broken off the East Coast, seeing God move. And I believe that even this, on the video, this whole thing is going to shift, right? So let's play that track. Let's turn it up to 11. Don't worry, we'll pay the neighbors off later. Are you ready? So if you need to get into an aisle or something, come on, let's just really just go to war this morning. Let's just begin to pray. Come on. Oh, we lift up the mighty name of Jesus in this place this morning. Come on, warriors. Come on, warriors. Shokara barasi kiti hara mama masi. Rokatara barabaroso ho hahande.